Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got news. We got hot banana talk and hot Mr. T talk and Amazon rainforest fire. First, Simply Safe. Only 10% of break-ins are planned beforehand. You get that? People just walking around looking for targets of opportunity. Only one in every five homes has security because most companies don't make it easy. It's expensive, drilling, wires, hassle, making a mess. Guys crawling around in the attic or underneath the crawl space of the house. Simply Safe protects your whole home, every window, room, and door with 24/7 monitoring for a fraction of the cost, just $15 a month, designed to blend right into your home. And it's won a ton of awards. CNET, New York Times, Wirecutter have all given awards to Simply Safe. Great sponsor, better company. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam. There's two I's, simplysafe.com/Adam. And you can try it out for 60 days for free and also get a free shipping and a risk-free trial, a 60-day risk-free trial and free shipping. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Let them know I sent you.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, there is growing concern around the world about this fast-spreading wildfire that's destroying the Amazon rainforest in Brazil, and it's actually multiple wildfires. So fires in the rainforest are not uncommon, but this year has seen an 84% increase in forest fires over last year. So far, there have been nearly 73,000 wildfires in Brazil, and half of them have been in the rainforest. And it's like, okay, well, who cares? What's the big deal? Well, it's especially concerning because the Amazon is an ecosystem that produces 20% of the Earth's oxygen. It's often referred to as the planet's lungs. Environmentalists blame humans for the increased wildfire, pointing the finger at Brazil's president.
No planet ever died from secondhand smoke.
Well, the thing is, he apparently has been very loose with telling farmers to clear more forest for farming, for ranching, for mining. Meanwhile, the president...
Well, environmentalists blamed humans? They always blame spotted owls or it's force majeure. They rarely turn their ire to humans.
Mother Nature is often the...
But
yes, environmentalists, it's humans. The humans also made the fucking supermarket you buy all your shit at, and the car you drove there, and the roads, and all that.
You are going to like the president's response. He blames the fires on inadequate resources for fighting the fires, which you think maybe he'd have something to do with.
You can't blame the fires on resources for fighting the fires.
As well as...
Well, you can blame the continuation of the fire.
As well as environmental groups maybe setting the fires to make him look bad.
Oh.
So this is a real, fisticuffs, gloves off.
What's, I don't know, what year is it and where is it and what's going on and
2019,
how come
first
everyone doesn't really have control over their world or what's going on? Or like,
I thought we'd be on top of this stuff by now.
I don't know. It's sometimes like, oh, there's fire in Brazil. Like, we can't do anything. And then it's like Boca Raton. They've abducted 400 school-age girls, and they're selling them. Like, okay,
wait,
who's
Boca
in?
Boca Raton.
I'm sorry.
Florida?
Sorry, not Boca Raton.
Boca Haram.
Boca Haram. Sorry, thank you.
I didn't know this
Boca
happened
Haram.
On our soil.
Yes. It's not as bad as Florida. But
yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying, I don't know. I would have had this sort of fantasy when I was young that I didn't know a lot about the world and about different cultures and things like that. I was pretty much like Chef Boyardee's from Italy. I know that much. And they go, "Sent the spicy meatball." And then Colonel Klink, he's German.
German. These are the bad guys.
And Mama Celeste, she's another paisan.
Mama Nicolina.
She's making the frozen pies.
Yep.
And I kind of had an idea. And then there was Hawaii, which was like, oh, they're hula dancing. Mm-hmm. And it's so wonderful. That's about all I knew. But I didn't know that there'd be these other countries and cultures that just had no sort of control over what people were doing in their culture, or thought it would be a good idea for this, or couldn't control that, or like, what's going on with the rainforest? I don't know. Let's get Sting to fix it. Right. Sting should fix it. It's like,
Sting fixes everything.
Why is he fixing it? Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, every country has its trials and tribulations, and you can argue that, well, what's going on with this country? Like, well, have inner city schools in Baltimore not working very well, and then maybe we'd like to do less coal mining. There's maybe too much fracking going on in North Dakota, but it's not really out of control,
right,
so to speak. Like, it's not like, well, what can we do?
Right. We can see the road ahead.
Yeah, just there's going to be pockets of whatever,
right,
wherever, everywhere in every society. There's too many people, mm-hmm, too much to maintain. Mm-hmm. There's going to be school shooting, you know. But just to sort of lose, not really have control of the rainforest,
yeah,
like what's going on,
yeah,
and there's people pillaging, or they're deforesting. I don't know. I feel, and then you can go, well, that's the blue-eyed devil coming in and trying to chop everything down and make money, and it's like, okay, but why not control that? Why do you not have jurisdiction over what's going on? I mean, I guess you go like, well, Mexico's a narco state. It's the drug cartels.
Russia,
that are, why not have?
Yeah,
I get it. We have junkies and drug runners, and we have all that too. But we sort of have jurisdiction over it. Like, we have a lot of drug abuse and drug sales, but they don't control the government.
Run rampant.
Yes,
right.
That's what I'm saying.
And Brian, you might feel me on this. The first thing I thought of was Interstellar.
Mm. Oh.
I am very afraid after having seen that movie for the first time in a beautiful, expansive desert sky, flashed on a barn
screen.
That's
right. We had a new Dust Bowl.
Because there was not enough oxygen left on Earth because of the fires.
Mm.
And if this is considered the Earth's lungs, we better start looking for new territory.
Honestly, I had to think about the plot of Interstellar.
Like, I really liked it. I know a lot of people thought it was eh, but I thought it was great. Well, there are a few people who are looking to fix the drug problem in this country. Large shipments of cocaine, reportedly worth more than $1 million, were found hidden inside boxes of bananas at three Safeway grocery stores in Washington State. So according to law enforcement sources, the drugs were found at least three different cities. All the boxes marked CK and contained about 20 kilos of cocaine.
What's in there?
Authorities said that
one.
Hold on.
All right. Were we talking about, I don't know,
Chiquita.
Pablo Escobar? No, it was El Chapo was like stuffing bananas with cocaine. Were we talking about
that?
Max Pater, there was a story. I don't know if we talked about it. I do a lot of podcasts, so
good
I can't
sports.
Remember. Could have been. It was someone had taken, I think, bananas and filled them with cocaine.
And sealed them up?
Well, kind of makes sense if you think about it. Why,
sure.
If you did it right, open it up and just have a bunch of keys of coke fall out of there. Here's what I'm starting to really realize. Then you think about the term banana republic.
Mm.
Maybe we should figure out how to grow our own fucking bananas. I feel like this importing
of
bananas is causing a lot more tears than it is smiles.
Yeah.
First off, I don't know. We can't build a greenhouse that's more than 22 feet high. We can't grow our own banana trees. Like, why don't we have the government subsidize banana farmers? This notion of like, well, they have to grow them in these horrible places where they can pack them with cocaine and then bring them over here.
So, yeah, supposedly he tried to smuggle $100 million worth of high-grade cocaine into Australia using fake cucumbers and bananas.
Wow.
Okay.
It's not bad.
So, grow your own bananas and avoid all of this potential trouble.
Grow your own.
Yes, we need some bananas. We need some bananas today.
So,
come, Mr. Tallyman. Tell me these fucking bananas.
I don't know. We're not good enough to make our own bananas?
I think we are.
Okay.
There's for sure
we have every climate under the sun in this country.
There's bananas in Hawaii, I can tell you for sure.
They used to tell you about wine, you know, you can only grow it in Bordeaux or whatever, make the grapes. Now it's like they're doing it in Idaho. Yeah. They're doing it everywhere. They're
Missouri
doing Pennsylvania.
Is a great wine.
You got sunshine and fertile soil, you can do wine.
Let's do our own bananas. No more. No moss with the bananas.
Everything.
It's causing too much trouble.
Yeah.
You ever see one of those banana tarantulas? A giant tarantula spider?
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Do we need more? You want that? You want that in your child's bed?
Far
do you want kilos of cocaine and tarantulas in your child's bed?
I would love to keep them out of that bed.
Then you vote for me. Let's grow our own bananas.
Corolla Milano 2020.
That's right.
So apparently one of the stashes, just one, had more than $550,000 of cocaine in it. Produce workers at the Bellingham Safeway contacted police after seeing this. The fruit and drugs were reportedly sent from the Safeway distribution center.
They contacted them the next morning.
Yeah.
7 a.m.
They seemed harried.
I miss movies. Remember the movie where the theme was they'd find a bunch of cocaine and the one brother would want to sell it and the other brother would want to give it back. Mm-hmm. And then at some point they'd get into trouble with the gangsters and they had to outsmart them. Yep. And every third movie for a while sort of had that as a theme.
Like, was that Three Kings or A Simple Plan?
That's the same trope.
Yeah.
Also the same trope.
Yeah, there was
come across a fortune and things go wrong.
The brothers have to decide.
I think Into the Blue, I think, which was...
The Cape Boswell surfing movie?
No, this was the other Blue.
The Paul Walker, Jessica Alba one.
Oh. Right. They found, he had a fishing boat, and then they found cocaine in a crashed airplane and got, you know. And also, I believe, in the movie, The Deep. Mm. The Deep... had 1979, Robert Shaw was in The Deep, and like Nick Nolte, a mustachioed young, like blonde Nick Nolte, sorry. And then there was also, what's her name?
Jacqueline Bisset,
who I'm crossing you in the next several days, Jacqueline Bisset, hang on.
What was this movie? The poster seems very misleading.
The poster, the movie,
she's
The Deep.
She's in The Deep, Gina.
The Deep.
The end.
The Deep was like a plane had crashed, or a ship or something, and it had like morphine bottles in it or something, and they wanted to go get it, but there was a giant eel that like guarded it. So it's like you could go down.
Wow.
No bra.
That was a true story.
That was the big deal. What was the slug line of the
IMDb? IMDb is 1977, The Deep. In Bermuda, two amateur treasure hunting divers have a run-in with local criminals when they inadvertently discover the secret cargo of a World War II shipwreck.
Okay.
Oh, that had morphine or something in it. Yeah. But then there was this giant eel that like
eats bras.
Protected it. Yeah, it's a bra-eating eel.
Run, Gina.
Sorry.
Okay.
Maybe the reason I've heard of it is 38% of Rotten Tomatoes.
It was a big movie when it came out.
Well, David Koch, the billionaire who built Koch Industries, America's second largest private company with his older brother Charles, has died. He was 79. One of the world's richest people, used his wealth and power for various philanthropic endeavors, also promoted right-wing political causes. He helped fund numerous think tanks and other organizations that supported conservative candidates and causes. 1980, he was the Libertarian Party candidate for vice president. The Koch brothers' money reportedly funded the Tea Party and was a factor in the election of President Donald Trump. No cause of death announced, but apparently he had been diagnosed with prostate cancer 27 years ago.
Well, that's a good run.
Yeah.
You wonder, without that money, I don't know. Would he have made it 10 years? You know what I mean? Like, I'm assuming he was at the Mayo Clinic, like getting world-class constantly.
Probably, yeah, I think they've built a few hospitals, so
I'm sure
he's done well.
Yeah. All right. Coke, it's K-O-C-H?
Yes.
Indeed.
And it's pronounced Coke.
Coke, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I found this story, and I think there might be a new leader in the clubhouse, Adam, for someone who you will consider a hero. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should all try this as people with people, little kids in the house. A single mom of three found a creative way to get her kids to start doing chores while teaching them the inherent value of work. So in a now viral Facebook post shared on August 13th, Georgia-based Shakitha McGregor explained that she held a job fair at home for the kids. They're 6, 10, and 13 years old. When they got home from school that day, they had to come to the job fair. And instead of an allowance, they needed to apply for a job at home to earn money. They'd been requesting things like, you know, cell phones and social activities, and she didn't just want to give them money. So the three jobs up for grabs alongside a homemade ad for an offer on how to teach them to build their credit were kitchen manager, lead housekeeper, and laundry supervisor.
Wow.
And despite the kids' initial reservations, they got competitive, of course, quickly. The 13-year-old lost the job that he wanted to the 6-year-old because she had a better interview. And just over a week since this post, it's racked up 212,000 reactions, 35,000 comments, 130,000 shares. And the whole point of this experiment was to get the kids, quote, a little bit familiar with the hiring process so they'll be prepared when they grow up and are entering the workforce.
Good for her.
And that's pretty cool.
Shakitha?
Shakitha McGregor.
She's got the hair. If you find a picture of Flip Wilson doing Geraldine, I think they have the same hairstylist. Yeah. It's not a bad look. Kind of a page, kind of a page girly or Bob. But I love all this stuff. Everyone should be doing this. I don't do it, of course, but everyone else should do it.
Yeah,
That's a waste of my time.
Yeah, like they should be. It's the weirdest thing because see, kids are wired for avoiding anything they don't want to do, even if they end up sort of liking it. It's hard to get them past that threshold. And much of life is that way because you're wired. We're all kind of wired for fun, but fun is empty calories. That's a big fucking pillowcase full of snack wells. Like it never really satiates or satisfies. All it does is, all you do is you go, we'll go to Disneyland. And you go, oh, we had to wait in line for a long time and whatever. And they go, next time we're going there with the fun pass. Yeah. We're going right to the front of the line. We're going to hire the chick. And then you do that sort of bottomless
days
as well.
Just,
then you go, we're going to sleep over. We're sleeping over.
Wake up in the park.
We'll wake up there. And it's like
Cinderella's castle.
You keep upping the ante and it's like doing more cocaine. Like I'll draw a bigger line of cocaine and I'll be enjoying myself more. We all know the real answer is like get out and raise that barn, get out there and ride that mountain bike, get out there and make that song or create that thing or build that thing or whatever. That's where the real set. But we run from it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Did you guys have it, Brian? Maybe you had something like this. Adam, I very much doubt you did. I think it was in fifth grade in Kansas City. We went to a place called Exchange City, and it was like, we would look forward to this from like first grade on because everyone knew once you went to fifth grade, you went to Exchange City. Does that sound familiar?
No.
It's like a commerce city.
Going to Kansas would have been absurd.
How dare you? It was like a big, you know, hall at some civic center or something. And it looked like a little village. It looked like a small town. And you got to apply for a job. And who was going to be the DJ? Who's going to be the cop? Giving tickets when you walk on the fake grass. That was one of the jobs. You could work in the bakery and the snack shop and the jewelry shop. And there was
money.
Was this
like a day-long thing?
A whole day. Mm-hmm. And you worked in this town, and we looked forward to that like crazy. Wow. So something like that is a really fun idea for kids.
Yeah, I was looking at a...
Are you kidding me?
I was looking at a Starbucks cup in my house that was 3/4 full with chai latte, and it had a Postmates thing on it.
Oh, my God.
Which is...
That's
also
impressive.
When somebody brings you the chai latte, you really didn't like it. Doesn't have that much meaning anymore. You have to kind of wait in line for it.
In any square mile in LA County, there are multiple Starbucks.
Oh, you could walk to the Starbucks.
No, that's what I'm saying. In any square mile, there are multiple.
Yes. I don't know how to have people bring food to my house.
That would be an almost impossible challenge, but I wonder if it would be possible to find a square mile in Los Angeles County that did not have multiple Starbucks.
Mm.
Like, where would...
Yeah.
The airport is not obviously not like maybe up in the
I'm sure you'd have to go
St.
up to
Gabriel
the hills
Mountains.
Or
maybe
even some south centrally, I don't know, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, obviously you can walk to the Starbucks.
Doesn't it cost more to deliver than the actual item?
I'm sure that's what's called a perk, you know.
Perk you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my point is It's no longer a treat, and it also loses its value to you because it was just there.
Literally empty calories.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, some real... Oh.
Sorry. We're looking at Flip Wilson as Geraldine and
Shaquitha McGregor.
Shaquitha McGregor, yeah.
Innovative.
Innovative.
All right.
I like that.
It's a great Blood, Sweat, and Tears song.
Mm-hmm. Shaquitha McGregor! Tell me where you've been all night.
Applying for a job.
That's right.
Folded laundry.
So Bob Odenkirk may have let something slip that he wasn't supposed to, but it is to the delight of Breaking Bad fans. Slash Film reports that actor Bob Odenkirk, who played a supporting role in Breaking Bad, of course he was Saul Goodman, and stars on the AMC prequel series Better Call Saul, says the upcoming Breaking Bad movie has already been filmed. The movie has been largely shrouded in secrecy, but is reported to be a sequel of the series that follows Aaron Paul's character, Jesse Pinkman, after he escapes from captivity in the series finale. So how do we know this movie's been shot? Well, in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Odenkirk said, quote, "I don't know what people know, and I don't know what people don't know about the movie. I find it hard to believe that you don't know it was shot. They did it. You know what I mean? How is that a secret? But it is. They've done an amazing job of keeping it a secret. And the Breaking Bad movie is supposed to hit Netflix and AMC sometime next year."
AMC's?
Go ahead.
The theater?
AMC Netflix? Was the channel it was
AMC
on. AMC
and Netflix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not going to be theatrical.
I don't think so.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah. Hey, Max Bata, ask Matt. Tell him if it sounds familiar that Bob Odenkirk asked for an advance copy of the Newman doc or the 24-Hour War like 5 years ago.
He did.
And I said, why? And he said, well, somebody who's working with me or whatever is a big fan, like a big star guy is a big fan and would like to see it. And I said, okay, well, we'll get you an advance copy of it. But who wants to see it?
My buddy James Mangold's really interested.
And he said, I can't really divulge that now. So it's kind of weird because
he's a car fan?
Fast and loose when he's talking to Drama Log.
Never you
so
mind who wants
here.
A DVD.
So I said, okay, well, I respect that. Well, we'll get it to you. But then at some point, tell us who that person is so we know. Hmm. And never heard from him again.
What was he?
That's right.
What was he working on at the what year was it?
I think
five
it was Better
ago.
Call Saul. I don't know.
He said
there were some stars in that.
Bob said it was for someone named Ray.
Oh,
hold on.
And we all thought it was Ray Romano, but it was not.
Okay.
Liotta?
What movie was that? Do you remember which movie that was? Well, it was 24-Hour War, or it was the Newman Doc.
I think it was the Newman Doc.
We never heard back. Never. I don't know. Tell Matt to reach out to Bob Odenkirk. Tell him it's been 6 years.
You probably also who you passed it along to.
It was weird to me.
God, I'm going to be obsessed with looking at famous Rays.
I'm not sure why.
Charles?
Ray Donovan.
Couldn't tell us. I don't know why he couldn't tell us because they were shooting something.
Huh.
Also, there's a guy in Better Call Saul Breaking Bad who plays a character named Tuco. And his name's Raymond in real life. So we don't know. Maybe it's him.
Tuco's cool.
You know how people have, like, there's that new ID that you need to travel everywhere now.
Real ID thing.
And sometimes you can have little licenses or things that, federal marshal that lets you walk past the thing. Can I get licensed, and bonded as I don't care? So that when everyone goes, I'd like to tell you an idea for a reality show, but I can't
flash your badge.
I'm pitching it, whatever. I wear a fedora that says I don't give a fuck. Bob Odenkirk, you can tell me who this person is because I don't care.
Obviously,
it's a good chance I haven't heard of them, but I'm also not going to say anything. I just don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care. I've never even seen Breaking Bad, which I know is a great show.
It's amazing.
And I've never seen Better Call Saul either, which I hear is great. But nobody cares less than me. I just make my docs and go build shit. So if you want something, you can tell me the person's name because I don't care. Not that I don't care about you. Mm-hmm. I just don't care. I'm not going to run home and tell people.
Your secret's safe.
I don't even work with people that care.
I don't care, says the guy who wants to email him 6 years later to find out who it is.
I want
to
know.
We can definitely reach out. I do have the assistant's email still. I was looking back, so it was the Newman doc. And based on the conversation and the emails, it would appear that Bob and you had a cell phone conversation at a certain point where you would have talked about what this is. Because every email I have is very, you know, we're going to get them on the line to discuss it.
Your cell phone conversation?
Yeah, but I do have emails saying, hey, we're sending the Blu-ray out. You know, you guys should have it.
But right, and I kind of remember this at the time, but I also remember going, I've never talked to him on the phone. So I don't know what happened.
Yeah, not sure. But between your emails and mine, that's what I dug up.
Well, hit him up and see if we can figure it out. The steeping period, the statutes of limitations have run out.
You must have talked to him on the phone because he had the detail of, I can't really tell you, like that whole thing, unless that was over email, which would be very easy to find.
I don't know. I never know. I don't know. I asked Matt if that I can't tell you thing was said over the phone. I don't recall talking to him about it. I just recall these emails, and I sort of recall going, I don't think I talked to him, but I felt like, I don't know, Bob Odenkirk called me. I feel like I'd remember that, but who the hell knows? It could be anything. I don't know. We'll see if that was expressed in an email. There's someone named Ray.
Well, fun fact, did you know that he was up to play Michael Scott on The Office before Steve Carell?
Don't care.
Okay.
See how that works? Your secret is safe with me.
Beautiful. Well, speaking of movies, iconic memorabilia from some of history's most celebrated movies, including the sword Mel Gibson wielded in Braveheart and the complete suit from 1989's Batman are going up for auction. And that's just a few things. I have a whole list. The New York Post reports that Prop Store is putting up 900 items valued at more than $7.5 million. I think that's combined, up for sale over 2 days, September 30th and October 1st. This is going to be at London's BFI IMAX. I have some of the big ticket items. I also have the value, so I'm happy to have you guess if you'd like.
Let's try that.
All right.
Hey, Dawson, yell at Max Zapata. I forgot, but the Tom Cruise GTO replica, piece of shit, but Midnight, no, Sky, no. What was that movie? Vanilla Sky GTO kit car sold in Monterey, and
the one from the movie
sold the Bond car.
Oh, that's right.
Which was supposed to be the real deal.
DB7?
Five, damn. I believe, sold for like $6 million, and then the scuttlebutt at the Infinity booth when we're sitting around on Sunday drinking champagne and eating hors d'oeuvres, as my grandmother would say, was that wasn't the one from the movie.
Oh.
Not on. It wasn't the camera car. It was the publicity car they sent around. And then it's like, you just spent $6 million for a DB5 that wasn't the movie, on camera. Was a scuttlebutt. And there was one other car, and I'll... Ferris Bueller's.
Oh, yeah.
Ferris Bueller's 250 California Spider replica.
Oh.
Well, it was wrecked. It was kicked out of the...
It would have been... I don't know if they would have...
I'm sure more than one.
Yeah, the hero car, whatever it is, which was a replica because the real ones are $13 million now. That sold, too. So I'm curious what those replica cars from those famous movies were.
I only remember seeing that movie as a kid being like, that car is amazing, but I don't really know anything about it, or, you know, as an adult, I don't know. Is that a cool car, the one from Ferris Bueller?
They're cool cars. They're good-looking cars. They didn't make a ton of them, and they're pretty routinely trade for $10 million+ now. So,
all right, well, I'm going to give you a couple of the props going up for sale, and you're welcome to guess at what I have valued at more than ... So first... some of the artifacts going under the hammer. Okay, the armor Russell Crowe wore in Gladiator.
Ooh, now that's a good one. So, no Ray in the emails. Must have been on the phone. Brian's right.
Gotta know.
All right. Well, tell Matt to remind me to call him back. It's been 6 years. All right.
The armor Russell Crowe wore in The Gladiator. In Gladiator.
Wow. I just this is a weird world because some stuff is very expensive and some stuff is alarmingly cheap.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I thought was low, but now I think it's even high. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going for 150 grand.
Okay. Oh,
just
Jesus.
Jumped
I said
in my head.
8,000.
Well, it's somewhere in the middle of those two. 36,000. Jack Nicholson's axe from The Shining.
These are estimates.
Yes, it's estimated right. at more than dot,
mm-hmm.
dot, dot.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's weird with more than. Is that how they do it? More mm-hmm. than.
It's all more than.
Because when I was looking at Paul Newman's watch, I was going to buy for Odenkirk. Is that thank you for not getting back to me on my doc.
Friendship watch.
The estimates for the watch, so not to bore you guys, but in the car world, they'll say it's a Ferrari Daytona, and they'll go, the estimate is 600 to 750,
right.
and it'll fall somewhere usually in the estimate because they have a price. Mm-hmm. In the watch world, the celebrity watch world, just the watch world, they said, well, this Newman Rolex Daytona, $1 million. And I kept saying, that's the estimate? And they go, no, above. It went for $17 million. Now, that wouldn't happen in the car world. They're just going more than this versus it's in this bracket.
Right.
So anyway.
So at least.
All right. What's
for
the
Jack
next
Nicholson's axe from The Shining.
Oh,
it's
God.
Going for at least.
So iconic.
So iconic.
It could only go up,
and
right?
That's a cool display piece, too. Mm-hmm. What do you get with the fucking armor?
Mm-hmm. All right. But now it's way too high in the other one. I'm going, and that's Russell. And it's higher, higher than, but not as cool. Like you couldn't get drunk and put it on and mince about nude.
The axe you put over the mantle, and then the kid starts acting up. You just point the axe.
I'm going to go above 30.
Okay.
Yeah, I went above it, too. I said 40K.
48,000. I'll give you a few more for
Brian's
fun.
Brian's good at this. Yeah.
Let's see. Stormtrooper helmet from 1977, Star Wars, A New Hope, which could fetch at least.
Okay, so Star Wars nerds are crazy, so factor that in.
Right.
But there were, I can't even get, 250 of these produced for the movie.
Seems like they had to have a lot.
Yeah.
Also, it'd be definitely one of those things that if you handed it to someone, they'd go, oh, this isn't a real one. And you'd go, and they'd go, it's too light. It's
you
all
get high quality replicas.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Was this worn by, obviously wasn't worn by anybody significant.
Doesn't say.
All right, I'm going to tease it first. BetOnline.ag, everybody. College football's here. Big matchups this week in the NFL preseason. Last before we start the regular season. Ooh, how does that sound? Regular season. Oh. NFL, everyone. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1 and get your 50% welcome bonus. Oh, boy. The beginning of the NFL season, I like when it starts getting a little cooler out at night.
Brisk.
The wind whispers, and you're like, it's football season.
Football season. Don't sit on the sidelines this year. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code PODCAST1, or you can text BETNOW to 23-86-69 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, the helmet, yeah, the Star Wars nerds have deep pockets, mm-hmm. but they did, Brian, yeah, they made a whole bunch of these.
It's not a lightsaber, it's an extra costume, essentially. An iconic one, but an extra costume.
15 grand.
I went higher, I said 50.
Oh, please, that's chump change, both of you, $145,000.
They won't get it.
Wow.
And I'll just give you, actually, one low one and one high one.
The GTO from Vanilla Sky is still for sale, didn't sell, I guess, at a 85 to 100 to 95 estimate. Wow. Did the Ferris Bueller 250 sell? No, we didn't get that one. Awesome.
Still looking. Set.
Oh, still looking. Well, that the Ferris Bueller one would have won at Russo Steel or Mecum. It was one of these two, and it'd be up there if it sold, probably. So maybe it didn't sell.
Doesn't this price feel low?
if you got up on the car, you would realize it's a really crappy knockoff of a Ferrari GTO. But I would still...
It's not a replica. It's produced by Ferrari.
No.
Oh.
No, no.
Oh, that's okay.
No, it's not produced by Ferrari. It's
a, I saw the logo all over it. So okay.
It's a cheap replica of a GTO.
Everything we're seeing here says it's heading to auction, and so it's probably just still up there if it is for auction.
The 250?
The Buehler car, yeah.
Oh, it didn't, but it didn't sell, I guess, is what happened. Heading to auction assistant, yeah. That's an article that's 2 weeks old.
Exactly. And if it sold, there would be more articles telling us what it
sold. No, not really.
Not if it was underwhelming?
Nah, it's not really. You have to just go to either Mika Marusa Steel from Monterey and look it up. I also have a app on my phone called Hammer Price. You just hit it and you just scroll to the auction and just go. You can go through all the cars.
We have very different apps on our phones.
I know.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you this one. If you're a Star Trek guy instead of a Star Wars guy, Spock's costume could fetch at least $60,000. And I'm going to let you guess.
Is it the costume from the original series or from the standalone film? Because they were different costumes in films.
Thank you, Brian.
I remember as a kid being just insanely bored all the time because I didn't read and I didn't write and I didn't do anything. So I had two things. Either I could be outside with my friends trying to get them in a headlock and wrestle them to the ground and vice versa, playing football or basketball. Mm-hmm. That's all I looked forward to. Or I could be at home, hopefully watching like Speed Racer or something. But I would watch anything because I didn't read and I didn't have any puzzles or anything. I didn't have parents that interacted with me. So I would just stare at the TV like, please help me in my infinite boredom. And the reason I know all about Debbie Doodson and Wally Thorpe School of Truck and everything is I would watch these commercials with great joy. Because something was moving on a 13-inch black and white box.
Something looked like it was interacting with you.
Even with those details being known, when Star Trek would come on, I'd be like, oh, what the fuck is this?
Click.
Like, I remember just being 10 going, oh, shine this noise. Like, I'd rather have a fucking Debbie Doodson trucking commercial. Or how about fucking Ron Popeil, the guy spraying top coverage on his bald spot? Or this other guy's telling you he's got a glass. Or what about Mr. Microphone? Come on, we'll be back to pick you up later. Good looking. Woo. Black guy scatting. Woo. Hey, Jeff Turkey. Just walking down the street alone, scatting and shucking. That was entertainment for me. Obviously, we were never going to own a Mr. Microphone.
No, watching someone.
Close as you were
that thing was $11, and then it took $2 worth of batteries, and then you had to have an FM radio nearby. So, like, these are all.
Where do you begin?
Sorry, eliminated. Sorry, Your Highness. But I could at least get some joy out of watching the commercials. When Star Trek has I'd be like, oh, fuck.
This again.
I don't think I told you this in the several times we talked about Mr. Microphone, but can I tell you that I think my dad might have been a little more into me than your dad was into you.
Mm-hmm.
Because my brother and I both had Mr. Microphone and I had a Fisher-Price record player. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know I was pretending. I was told if I held this up to me in my room next to the record player, I was broadcasting live, and it was KGD,
oh, Christ, it was K-Grad. Started.
And so what my dad would do, because I would say, we're taking calls, and I was like 5 or 6, and I would just be waiting for someone to call. They put those little puffy headphones on me. I had no idea this wasn't real. My dad would haul ass up to a neighbor's house, out of breath, call the home phone. My mom would go, Gina, there's a call. Hello? Hi. And he would disguise his voice. He would do all the voices, and I had no idea I wasn't broadcasting to Overland Park, Kansas.
I had similar exchanges with my dad. I remember the time when I was 9 and all I wanted to do was play professional football.
Sure.
And I said, Dad, do you think I'll be a 6-footer? And he went, probably not.
No. Did he at least run to a neighbor's house and disguise his voice?
No, but that was, I feel like there was some effort in him defeating me.
Same
you know,
thing.
He burnt a couple of calories. He may have, to be fair to him, he may have went, I'm not very tall and neither is your mom.
Yeah.
You know, so he may have backed it up with some
quit
stats.
Dreaming.
Yeah. That car, where the hell?
The Ferris Bueller car, highest bid was $225, did not sell.
$225 for a replica.
Yeah.
That's all about that movie being iconic.
But that didn't meet the reserve because it didn't sell.
No, look.
The estimated price was $300 to $400.
Here's the thing. That look, when you talk about replicas, mm-hmm. like there's two types of replicas. They will do a replica of a Jag X whatever 220 Le Mans whatever. They'll do weird a Bugatti from mm-hmm. the 30s. They'll do weird nut and bolt recreations mm-hmm. of these cars, and those cars sell for $300 or $400 grand. Like they are craftsmanship, right. Nut and bolt, blah blah blah. The Porsche, the Ferrari replicas with like the fiberglass body mm-hmm. and the GM V8 engine in it and the automatic transmission and stuff. Oftentimes are not even close right. in the replica department. This one's a convertible, so you have to see the interior. Like, this one is a little nicer, and it's iconic.
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
I was in that movie.
Yeah, it was the star of the movie. I'm going to let you guess the last one because it's a good one. The signature fedora that Harrison Ford wore as Indiana Jones sold for, and this sold last year.
The fedora
Harrison Ford wore. Indiana Jones.
Does it say which movie?
It doesn't, but let's go ahead and assume it's the original.
This is a good one, yeah.
Let's say it's Raiders.
$80 grand.
Okay.
Oh, I'll just go over. $100 grand.
$492,000.
Wow.
Actually, $492,650.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
I got to say, there was no market for this stuff, and now there is.
Look at us now.
All right, let me hit Castrol Edge. We'll do one more and call the day. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium. Three times, fool! Stronger under pressure than the leading full synthetic Castrol Edge. The formula always exceeds the toughest industry standards. It is Castrol Edge. All right, one more.
Well, I don't know if this is the same Mr. T as the one that was so beloved to you, Adam, when you were growing up, but he is not down with weed companies paying homage to him. The 80s action hero has sued Leafly, which promotes a hybrid cannabis strain called Mr. Tusk. According to legal papers obtained by TMZ, the problem is that the strain's MRT logo is similar to Mr. T, and that's kind of the point they're making. The born-again Christian worries fans will think he supports the weed industry, and we can't have that. He's suing for trademark infringement and demands the company stop using the MRT Mr. T name.
Yeah, I don't know.
You
I think
like
his was
it.
A capital T.
I assume
this
those
is
letters,
their way of getting around it.
I assume the MRT letters stand for something or some.
What could it be?
Mr. Tusk?
Mr. T.
Well,
MRT.
No, but... Wait.
Oh, you mean like on the periodic table?
No, where did the MRT come from? If you're the company,
Mr.
You're Leafly.
Tusk, it says, right?
Well, that's the name of the strain because they can't call it Mr. T.
Right. So I'm getting back to one step before that.
Yeah.
If you're the company Leafly and you this MRT designation, where did that come from?
All
is
right.
there something called whatever?
Wait a minute. Why is Mr. T? I mean, Mr. T's not in the news. He's not that iconic. You know, I mean, he's iconic, but I mean, it's like 22-year-old Heshers don't. It's like
aren't
Mr. T.
Weed
I got some weed. Yeah. Like, I don't feel like that.
That would speak to the. Zennials.
Well, I'm saying if you go, I'm trying to sell pot. I think you'd go Spicoli more than like Mr. T
or
something.
Lebowski or something.
Or whatever.
Right.
I'm sure they
already exist. There's so many strains.
So I'm kind of questioning like, oh, you're trying to rip off Mr. T, but I don't feel like that moves the pot ball any closer to the goal line. I don't know what Mr. Tusk is supposed to be, but that could be something in that world. I don't know.
Although I would
Dawson
say,
says yeah. no. Dawson's never heard of it.
I've never heard
it's
of it.
It's in the weed world. It doesn't exist. Yeah. He's the mayor of weed world.
MRT is short for magnetic resonance therapy.
Does that have anything to do with weed?
No. Absolutely nothing.
No. Okay.
Mm-hmm. On Leafly, they put
okay,
all what, their weeds with that kind of style.
Like the periodic table.
Yeah.
But what's that, Chris, what are those letters based on?
Well, they're saying Tusk, but I don't know what Tusk
they got
is.
Mr. Tusk.
Is Granddaddy Purple.
They got Mr. Tusk from MRT, right?
No,
it's called Mr. Tusk, and then to stylize it with all the other weeds, they
it's
brand.
It's the branding. It's the logo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tusk means something to them.
Okay.
Or to pot smokers or to their customers.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
That's all right. I don't think he's ripping off Mr. T, but.
No, they just picked three letters.
You know
Mr.
what
Tusk.
I do miss? I miss a world. There's two things. if you were on a popular TV show, you cut an album. Mm-hmm. The record album.
Sure. Sure.
I mean,
did.
Leonard Nimoy. And I mean, looks, this, a whole cast of Star Trek had like an album. They had their own albums. Brady Kids, you know, whatever. You just, you had some popularity, a TV show, you had an album.
Even if you didn't sing, especially.
If you had some popularity in America in sort of the sports realm or something, you got your own cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. T had his own cereal.
Sure did.
And that's a bygone era, man. I miss that. This guy's popular. He, you know, The Rock would definitely have his own cereal if he was The Rock in 1979.
I just thought of a cereal that should exist, if it doesn't already.
Hmm.
Kardashios.
Oh, that's good.
Leaving money on the table.
Yeah, about the last guy we could get to in that world was Flutie. Doug Flutie. Flutie Flakes.
They're for charity, but
Flakes. It was like a little bit like a technicality or whatever. It wasn't done earnestly like Mr. T was.
No, nothing.
You know who else I heard a podcast with her? She was hawking her cereal. Elvira.
Really?
Yeah, can you find it? It's like a black cereal.
Another wrinkle.
Yeah.
Mr. T did have a record.
Oh, Mr. T had a record.
Mr. T's Commandments. Yeah. It was a rap EP for children.
Hell yeah, had a record.
My name's Mr. T, and I'm here to say, a Peter the Fool that doesn't study to get an A. Like, it's going to be that, right? I'm here to say.
Yeah. I love gold chains in a major way. Say,
yeah. Right, right.
There it is.
Elvira's cereal. All right.
It's black.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
See if you can find any of Mr. T rapping. It's got to start with him saying his name, and he's here to say. That's the Halcyon Days of Rapping.
Speaking of cereal, that was the Barney Rubble. Yeah. I'm the master rapper. I'm here to say.
I love Fruity Pebbles in a major way.
That's some cultural appropriation. We should probably one of our darker periods.
Oh, please. They smoked cigarettes. They
all
did
right.
Cigarette commercials.
Let's bring it home. Did
you
we bring it
got
home?
Got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Mm-hmm. Too much chaff for you.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
This Friday, going to be at the World of Speed Motorsports Museum, which is a world-class museum. God, it's about 20 minutes outside of Portland. Mario Andretti's going to be there with us, and we're going to do a car show and a car cast live over there with Mario. Anyway, it seems off the beaten path, but it's a world-class facility because I've been there already. So you can do that. You can go to Napa Uptown Theater, man. That's September 27th, doing stand-up there. And go to adamcarolla.com for all that you need, the stand-up shows and all that. Comedians of the Adam Carolla Show as well, coming up, like we said, in Valencia and Santa Monica and Torrance, Fitzdog, Cesario, Adam Ray, Paul Bryan. I'm going to stop by at some point.
Comedians
as well.
In quotes.
Laughs with Bald Brian as well at the Avalon coming up on the November 2nd. Mm-hmm. Do we hear from Mr. T rapping?
Yeah, this
the
is
the name of the song.
Treat Your Mother Right.
Mother, there is no other. Like mother, so treat her right. Mother, I always love her. My mother, so treat her right, treat her right. Hear me for the moan and the miserable groan from the pain that she felt when I was born. Always
bone?
For the
bone.
Oven with this bird.
There's moms in the background.
Where she stood making sure I had something to eat. Tea is for the time that she stayed up at night and took my temperature when I wasn't feeling right.
She's got backup singers, but I'm not sure why they're there, and I'm not sure why they didn't get the memo on the dress.
I was about to say, this is a visual joke, but like, apparently they were told to not show up camera ready.
He's almost
they're showing up like
mothers.
Moms. They're the moms.
Oh, they're dressing like moms. So you see that, Gina?
They should start singing now.
Nope. So treat her right.
This is awesome.
Oh.
We forgot to hug his mom that he matches with in
all
purple.
Right.
I guess they can all rap.
All right.
He goes, M is for the moan and the miserable groan from the pain that she felt when I was born.
Bone.
Bone.
Bone. Bone.
Yeah. Dawson, kill the music. Chris, take that again.
Try that again, Dry.
M is for the moan and the miserable groan from the pain that she felt when I was bone.
Very good. All right, we got a clean take. You want to do three?
No, we'll no,
see what the I think we got it. One and done, baby.
Bank, set it to a beat.
One shot, C-Bones.
Not Taco Bell material. My stand-up special. You can rent it or purchase it at Amazon or Apple TV or Chassis. And go leave a nice review on IMDb. I like reading them. It brings me joy in the night. So, until next time, I'm Crawford, Gina Grad, and Bald Brian. Say it. Mahalo.
Stick around today's episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla coming right up with it.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights, mixed martial arts fights,
riffing on bad Stallone movies, raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new week of hot sports talk here on Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Damashek with a bit of news. In addition to my NFL, Dave Damashek football program airing twice weekly, I'm now adding the football fact check on The Athletic. So track that one down wherever you find your favorite podcast. You'll find this brand new one. As always, delightful football talk. Nothing wrong with that, Ace. We've made it. The long summer is through. College football is underway. Pro football soon to join it. Your feelings?
Well, I've been watching Hard Knocks. Trying to figure out if it ever works out when someone goes from one team to another. It was heartwarming that Mr. August, as my son Sonny calls him,
classy. Wow.
Took him. We were at the track the other weekend. He took him to dinner. I went home to take a nap or back to the Airbnb before doing a show on a Saturday night. And all they did was talk football the entire time because Mike can talk football with the best of them because that's where he comes from.
Sure.
His dad was a coach for all those years. He was explaining that it never really works out when a star goes from one team to another team, except for Drew Brees, where it really worked out, where he went from San Diego to having all those incredible years in New Orleans.
Right.
And it continues. And also, he had a pretty bad injury in San Diego, like a shoulder injury
Right. I mean, it's funny to think about Drew Brees. People forget about the fact that they drafted Phil Rivers while they had Drew Brees on the roster and Doug Flutie. How about that trio of QBs that were on one NFL roster at one time? You can go through and do the other side of it, which I delight doing, in going back and finding the worst trio of QBs ever on an NFL roster on starting day. But how about that? I mean, Doug Flutie, an icon, at least a Heisman Trophy winner, and he's by far and away the third best of that trio.
And not only that, but Flutie had flakes named after him.
I heard you talking about that the other day.
I was, and I feel like Drew Brees not having a wine cooler named after him is leaving money on the table. You know what I mean? Tropical Breeze, Tropical Drew Brees. You know what I mean? Breeze
in the
trees. You're
so right about that.
I would drink that. New Orleans, they love their drinking over there.
Or Maker's Mark, because he's got that thing.
He's
you
got
know?
That,
he
got
should
that
get,
birthmark.
Celebrate
yeah.
that. Turn that lemon into lemonade.
Or we do that crossover thing where we're doing a kind of a Bartles and James wine cooler with Maker's Mark. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Like it has a jigger of Maker's Mark in there. Don't yell that in the locker room.
Careful.
If you know
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Yes, articulate your words carefully with that. Yeah, listen, it's an exciting time. Football is here. I'm over the moon about everything. There. The thing that it always makes me feel like is, though, Ace, because we're also up against, we're a week away now from Labor Day, and we have this conversation fairly regularly, but let's have it again now. Football's greatest virtue is that it provides a distraction. You know, you get your life is kind of fun. You get to flap your gums about whatever strikes your fancy. I do it as well. I get to talk about sports. We're kind of lucky in that regard. But no matter what your stripe, no matter what your profession, football is there on the weekend. It's the beacon of light on grim Mondays and grim Tuesdays. And I really resent the worst of all holidays on the calendar. Labor Day is a week away from here. And I resent that because the man, what I can't stand is when the man thinks he's pulling one over on you. And this is his bit, you know, this is his dig at you. I'm going to give you Labor Day. Never mind the fact that tomorrow it's back to school.
Yeah.
And never mind the fact that summer's over, everybody. Forget your vacations. It's going to get cold now and everything else. Oh, but I'm giving you a day off. Labor Day. In the title, it honors work. What kind of world are we living in? I don't want to be a part of that.
Well, speaking of not being part of a world, I have a philosophical question for you. Eventually, even the great Damashek is going to pass on to the great beyond. Would you like to go at the beginning of football season, the middle of football season, the end of football season, where would you like to go? Because it's going to be a weird feeling. Like, I'm dying on a Wednesday. I'm never going to see another game again. Now, if that happens in March, it doesn't have a sort of urgency to it. You know what I mean? Well, then no one else is going to see a game for 6 months either. But if it happens like mid-season.
Am I aware of my circumstance for like 24 hours? Do
yes.
I get to be like, I can't believe I'm going to miss the whole thing?
You see the ghost of Vince Lombardi at your hospital, at the foot of your hospital bed.
And he says, these are your final 24 hours.
Yes.
Live them well. Yeah.
That's right.
What the hell's going on over here in this hospital room? You're about to die.
We need a seal in heaven. We need a seal in purgatory, and I'll see you in hell. And he draws it. He's got the chalkboard out, and he draws it with great flair.
I would like to be, and I trust I would be if I passed at the right time, I would like to be the inspiration for the team. You know, I'd like to be held up in that way. I'd like for them to be able to wheel me out quickly in my final hours and be like, I was just going to say, I'd like for Coach Tomlin to make all the Steelers aware of my dire circumstance and do it for me. But you know what? Let's cut out the middleman. I'd like to address the team. I'm not going to win one for the Shecker, you know?
Right.
And I want to give that speech. I may not make it with you, fellas.
Right.
But when
right.
times get tough.
Right.
And it gets cold out there on the Monongahela. I want you to think of your old pal Dave, Dave. Yen's got to win the Super Bowl for me.
And you'd be preaching probably to a quarterback who is not yet born. But they would still be going against Tom Brady, who'd be in his 33rd year
Dave,
in the
this
league.
Tom Brady's no good. Yeah.
Just because he's 67 doesn't mean he can't sling it. But Belichick's 111. Yeah, that's right. But he can still draw up X's and O's.
My contention is that Tom Brady refuses to retire because while his competitiveness is eventually going to get in his way, it's not the same thing as a boxer who hangs on for a little too long. I think the thing with Brady is he knows that the world talks about – who's more important to the Patriots' run here? Is it Belichick or is it Brady? And he knows, based on, informed by Matt Castle winning 11 games in the year that Brady was out, and Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett and Brian Hoyer playing well in limited opportunity replacing Brady, he knows that if he retires tomorrow, the team's still going to win 12 games because of Belichick, and then that puts a stink on his legacy. Agree or disagree?
Well, we all know what happened when what's his nose filled in for Brady.
Right.
They had what 12-4,
11-5. Castle.
Yeah, Castle. They had a good season. Yes, of course it's the system. You know, I don't know how evil Knievel felt about seeing Robbie Knievel set more records on a motorcycle than him. He was probably secretly hoping his son would crash.
I said that. You know what? I talked to name drop on the Damashek show. I talked to Joey Bosa the other day, and I asked him about how his younger brother Nick was. And of course, then it reminded me, because I'm vain, I said, like, two brothers in the NFL at the same time. And that reminded me what a disappointment my sisters and I are to our parents. None of us in the NFL.
I was watching Eli standing on the sideline pretending like he was rooting on his rookie backup, who I think he's a rookie, slinging the ball
Daniel Jones,
over the place, and he's got to be praying for a pick six every time that guy drops back or torn ACL.
The best
ACL,
one ever
right?
was Carson Wentz in the playoffs last year. For the second time in a row, Nick Foles, the lesser talent, out on the field doing better than Carson Wentz is, and then the camera always, anytime anything good happened for the Eagles, the cutaways to Carson Wentz forcing a smile on his face.
Yay!
Hey, Nick, we're all rooting for you, man. Go do it, man. All right, Ace. Listen, I want to keep on talking about football. It's what's on my brain these days, and we'll continue doing that tomorrow. Let me tell you now, though, about TrueCar. It'll only take me 60 seconds, and guess what? That's how long it also will take you to get an offer on your automobile, believe it or not. All you have to do is go to TrueCar from your smartphone or your computer, enter your license plate number, and watch your car's details pop up. This is much easier, just as a point of reference, than Antonio Brown arguing endlessly that he should be allowed to wear a decade-old helmet. That's just as a yardstick for how easy this is by comparison. All you have to do is answer a few questions, and you'll get an accurate, true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. Then you bring your car in. They'll check it out with you. You'll do it together, and you ask questions, and you get answers. There will be no surprises. See, that's what Mayock and Gruden have gotten from Antonio Brown. Wait, he's kooky? Yeah, he's still kooky from 6 months ago. Then you leave your check or trade in your car for a new ride. When you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, go check out TrueCar today and check us out tomorrow. More hot sports talk coming your way. But for now, Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports out.
Good sports. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. For tickets and info on everything, go to adamcarolla.com.